Hello and welcome. I'm Richard from Veg Grower Podcast and this is episode 183. It's the 27th of August 2018, a bank holiday for those in the UK. And today is called How Climate Change May Affect My Gardening. Now, as the title suggests, today I will be talking about how climate change may affect my gardening. And this was actually suggested to me by my friends over at Discutafel. I think I've pronounced that right. They're a Dutch podcasting about permaculture and gardening. They're fantastic people. I'm going to have them on the show in the not too distant future once we get our dates arranged. But yeah, they've suggested this to me today. It's been a bit of a tough one, but I've pulled something out of the bag. But before that, we have what the Golden Days calendar suggests to do for this next week. And then, of course, before that, and I'm going to go straight into this, is the diary. Now, in last week's podcast, I mentioned that Grills was ill. Well, she didn't make that night, I'm sorry to say. I was incredibly sad about this. I got up in the morning, she was dead. So I've obviously had to deal with her, and that has inevitably made Bear very lonely, and chickens don't like being on their own. So I couldn't do anything about that straight away, but that meant after work every day I was rushing home and keeping her company and making a fuss of her, letting her play in the garden, just to keep her entertained and not lonely. Thursday evening I did, however, manage to pop to the allotment just to do a bit of weeding and harvested loads of tomatoes. I've got a huge amount of tomatoes at the moment. The amount of tomatoes I had, I needed to do something with. And I've been saving a recipe up for the Vobes show. So I contacted Richard to see if I could go on the show. And the only spot he had for me was the following day on the Friday. So another last-minute arrangement, shall we say, and that obviously was what happened on Friday. Now, the on the Vave show Friday, I cooked up a tomato and coconut curry, and it was delicious. It was so good, I've had to make it again. It went down a storm, it worked really, really well, and obviously being homegrown always adds a much better light to it. Saturday morning, I went to my chicken shop to get some new chickens. Now I was a bit early, so I wasted a few minutes by popping into a garden centre. And I was after some leek seedlings because I haven't done very well with leeks this year. And I figured if I can buy some, I'll be able to plant them. Well, I had a deal on for two packs for a fiver, so I bought a pack of carrots and a pack of leek seedlings, and I've bought those, and we'll see how they get on. At 10 o'clock in the morning, the chicken shop opened, and I went in at 10 straight away, as soon as they opened, and I bought two chickens. Now, I chose a amber, which was the same as what I had with Grills, and a blacktail. Now, I brought these home and I popped them into a spare quail cage I had. Bear was a bit noisy with this, obviously being inquisitive, so I kind of let her out and about the garden. I'd always planned to keep the chickens in the quail cage. It was fairly large for quails, but near Bear's cage, in order that they can start getting to know each other and creating a pecking order. As I said, Bear was inquisitive about these two, and she did get a little aggressive, which was kind of expected because it's about sorting out the pecking order. While this was going on, I was tidying the garden and kind of keeping Bear from attacking them, although she couldn't get to them because they were in the cage. Now, about half hour before sunset set, I thought I'll let Boona and Papadom out in the garden to see how they get on with Bear. and see what happens. This was not a good idea. Bear tried to fight with him, which I kind of expected, but this was proper aggressive fighting. So that was stopped. Now, when Sunset Array arrived, I expected Bear to take herself off to bed and Papa Dom and Boona. Oh, did I mention we had named them? Sorry, I'll go back to that. My wife had named the chickens. The blacktail is Boona and the amber is Papa Dom. Anyway, I expected those to go back into the cage. They didn't. Boona went under the raspberry bushes and Papa Dom jumped up into the ivy. So I got those out and Papa Dom had to get a ladder out to get her out the ivy. That's how high up she got. My research about overnight said they would be fine in a coop together with Bear. I don't think so. No. They were going to fight and what have you. So I placed Boona and Papa Dom into a box and in the potting shed as a temporary thing. Then the next morning, I got up early. Well, early for me. I was out there at 6:30. And I moved Boona and Papa Dom back into the quail cage. I let Bear out of the coop, but she got noisy. And at that time of the morning, I really didn't want to upset my neighbours. My neighbours are really, really good, but I didn't want to upset them. So I had to keep putting her back into her coop. And in about 8 o'clock, I decided this ain't going to work. So I put Bear into a cardboard box and I took her down the allotment with me. Now, before I went to the allotment, I actually popped to the car boot where my mum was selling things. And mum had me some net tunnels for the garden. So they were great. I picked those up and then took those down to the allotment. And I set one of these up and popped Bear inside that. And she was quiet. I gave her a June. She was exploring around. She did keep getting out of these things, so it wasn't great. So I had to change her setup a bit with something a bit more substantial to keep her in place. But no, she seemed to be okay. And then I hoed a few beds and then I planted out the leeks and the carrots that I bought the day before. And these were fairly easy. The carrots I just made a small hole. The leeks I just dibbed a hole and dropped a leek in and puddled them in. Well, actually, I didn't need to do much puddling because it started raining. And it rained hard. Now I got completely soaked. I started stripping the paths, but I just got so wet that it was miserable. So I harvested some courgettes, some tomatoes and a cabbage, packed everything up and went home. Now I was completely soaked. So the first thing I did was put Bear back into her cage and she wasn't happy at first, but she could see it was raining. So she kind of stopped complaining and sulked underneath the coop. As she was staying quiet, I popped out to a hardware shop to get some materials to build a coop for Boona and Papa Dom. And I kind of spent a few hours in my workshop building this coop. It was a very, very quick, rough build, but it's secure and it does the job. It's also quite movable and has an option to be used in the future. And then that evening, Bear went off to a normal coop. Papa Dom and Boona took those out of the cage and back into into this new coop. Now this morning, being a bank holiday, we obviously had the day off. So for the morning, Papa Dom and Boona went back into the quail cage. And Bear, she was noisy, but it was a bit later on in the morning this time. So I just kind of ignored her and went indoors. And a bit like a child, you know when they create and you just kind of ignore them? I was kind of doing that and it seemed to work. Now I cleaned my kitchen and I was going to have a big cooking day. And that was pretty much what I was doing. I checked all I had all the ingredients I needed, and I set about cooking. And I was cooking the tomato and coconut curry again, because I'm doing that recipe to go onto the website soon. And I also cooked up a courgette chutney. Now, there were many other things I was cooking, but these two particularly, because I want to put these on the website, and they will be up over the next couple of weeks. Now, obviously, while I was cooking all this, I was keeping an eye on the chickens, and they seem to be getting on okay. They're kind of inquisitive about each other. Now, in the afternoon, I built a small run for Poppadom and Boona. This is just in a little area next to Bear's cage. It gives them a bit more room, but it was just a bit closer and a bit more intimate with Bear, I guess you could say, so they can really start to get to know each other. The Cooper's gone in there now, and I placed Poppadom and Boona both in there. Now, it's not the best run, to be honest. It's probably not the most secure it'll do. I'm not worried about it, but it's only a temporary thing. So in a week or so, they will be in the main cage with Bear, all being well. Now, after that, I've sat down to write up this podcast, and all the birds have made their own way to their beds, which is what I wanted. Well, that brings the diary up to date, and I'm absolutely exhausted, to say the least. This week has been really about the chickens. I've learned a lot, but it's also been pretty hard. Obviously, the loss of grills was really upsetting. I know there's probably smallholders or farmers listening who think it's just a chicken. She is a pet to us as well. And she was great because she had such a character with her. And one of the things that my wife and I spoke about was my wife hanged the washing out one day, came indoors, and then she heard grills making a noise. She ran out to see what was going on. Grills normally makes, well, both Bear and grills used to make noises when something was upsetting them. Well, it started raining, so my wife brought in the washing, and that silenced grills. And it was as if grills was trying to tell her, oi, it's raining, the washing. And other little stories like that we had with grills, which are really sad, but life does go on. Anyway, let's take a look at what the diary suggests to do for this next week. Now it reads, this is an important time in a greenhouse as many plants can now be raised from seeds and cuttings. Annuals such as cornflowers, antirrhiniums and calendules can be sown now and grown on in a greenhouse that will flower during late spring and early summer. Yeah, I am finding at the moment I have got plenty of vegetable seeds to be sowing, and that'll give me a good amount of food over the winter. And soon we'll be getting into the peas for springtime, early peas and beans and stuff. So yeah, it's all full on ahead. Now, on this subject of the calendar, I've seen many gardening centres are actually coming out with their 2019 calendars. So I've started searching for a calendar for next year, like the Garden Days calendar that I've been using this year. Now, I've found the 2019 Garden Days calendar, which is going to be up there on my list as a contender. But if anyone out there has a suggestion for another calendar that I could use, I would be really, really grateful. Especially if it is more based around vegetable gardening. Right, let's gear on how climate change will affect gardening. And I have to admit, this has been a really hard one to put into words. Partly because everything's prediction and we don't really know how climate change is going to happen. However, climate change has always happened throughout the history of the world. Whether the man-made that we're experiencing at the moment is totally different, but the world has always gone through climate changes. In Victorian times, for example, we had a mini ice age, which is why the Thames would freeze over during the winter. We still managed to grow vegetables during that time, of course, and that is the point I guess we really have to think about, is that as the climate will change, we have to adjust our gardening in order to survive. And this year has been a great example of what many are predicting climate change will be in for us. So we have this long, hot weather followed by some really heavy downpours. And this will create droughts, and then that will be followed by flooding. They're also expecting much harsher winters, probably stormy weather and snow and ice and cold. And well, nobody really knows for certain. It's all predictions, but it certainly makes you think about how we will garden in this sort of time. Now, the first thing that I kind of thought of is, if we're going to have this long, hot weather, like it's, what we experienced this year is a great example. As you know, I hold on to as much water as I can collect from the rain. And that is something we will need to implement more and more. Water will, like that, will become an expensive commodity when it becomes rarer and rarer. So we all need to be doing our bit to catch as much and store as much rainwater as possible. And in our beds themselves, well, in order to hold on to the more moisture, water and nutrients that will get washed out, we need them to be more sponge-like. So a lot of organic matter, compost or manure, is going to have to go into the beds. Now, the trouble will then becomes when we get the flooding, because the flooding is going to wash out all the nutrients as well as much of the soil. And I think more and more of us will be turning to raised beds to combat this. But they are going to need to be very strong and very secure, because it is going to take a lot out of the ground, to say the least. Now, funnily enough, today there was an interesting article in a newspaper, and it is predicting that the cost of food is going to go up by about 5% this year because of the weather. Now, that's just one year. You imagine if we're going to get several years, how much food is going to go up. I've already said droughts, less water. If we're going to have harsher winters, that's going to mean we're probably not going to be able to start sowing seeds as early as possible as we can. And many of our perhaps buildings or sheds are going to get blown over during the winter. Well, it may even be that it's too cold over winter to grow some of our hardier plants. And the reality is, we're all going to have to adjust to our climates. I don't know how it's going to be, and I'll be completely honest. I don't know. I can read all these predictions. I can read all these things, and I can see what can happen. But we don't know. Now, this year, again, I keep coming back to how this year has affected us. And the dry, brown grass that we've had so much of, that's going to be a repeated thing. They were predicting blackcurrants and traditional fruits like that could disappear. And there will be new pests and diseases, and they will spread quicker in these warm conditions. But what can we do about this? And this is a very tough one, because only 2% of the population will actually prepared to react to this. And the report that I've found, it is really detailed, actually, and very easy to read, has suggested that the carbon footprint can be reduced by using water butts, which I've already suggested, and I highly, highly implore anybody to get water butts. My feeling on water, why pay for it to be pumped to your house to flush your toilet with when it falls from your rooftop and you can catch it in water butts to water your garden? It, you know, that's a debate I've gone on for about many times. It also says to reduce using chemicals and composts that contain peat, particularly. And peat is a very funny one because it is very, very good in a garden, but the actual mining of peat has been so damaging that the carbon sink is just, it's just exposed more carbon to the atmosphere. Now, this is going to be an interesting time ahead of us. And I don't know how we're going to cope, but we've got to cope. Many of our plants may not survive. Many of the plants that we grow now may not be able to grow in these times. So I implore anyone out there to really think about how this may affect them. Do some research and see what happens. Now, I don't want to be all doom and gloom. This was kind of, as I said, this was suggested to me by Discutuffle. I hope I pronounced that right. And I'm incredibly tired at the moment, so I'm not sure how this is going to turn out. But we've got a lot to learn, and we've got to do. I'm going to wrap up for now because I need to go to sleep. Thank you very much for listening. I'm sorry if it's been a bit discombobulated. But for now, please take care, and I'll speak to you again next time.